We find our scripture reading this morning in the first book of the Bible and the last book of the Bible. And we'll do first things first and start with Genesis, the second chapter, the verses 1 through 9, and then the verses 15 through 17. So Genesis 2, let's start at verse 1. Let's listen to the word of our God. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then the verses 15 through 17. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." And then we go to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, the 22nd chapter. We read the first two verses and the 14th verse. Revelation 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of this tree are for the healing of the nations. And then verse 14, blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he bless it to our hearts. And thanks be to God. Dear people of God, it's Earth Day today. You probably knew that already. And I was asked by the worship planners in my home church, in Fellowship Church of Toronto, if it would be possible for me on this Sunday to preach in keeping with that fact that it is Earth Day. I thought that was a pretty funny request. And when they asked me, "How come you're laughing?" I said, "Well, for a reformed person, let alone a reformed parson, every day is Earth Day. Even thematically, you could express the entire message of scriptures in terms of trees." The Bible is a very, very down-to-earth book. It helps us to understand ourselves. and the love of God in a language that we can understand. It answers basic questions like, who are we? What on earth are we on this earth for? How should we, how may we see, how may we view ourselves? And for all those questions, we can go back to the very beginning. And let me just digress for a minute. Many, many people walk around with what you might call negative feelings about themselves. Feelings of self-doubt, sometimes of unworthiness, guilt, insecurity. Many people suffer from periodic depressions, bouts of black feelings. Well, the very first thing the Bible does is to show us what God intended you and me to be. No, actually, what we were when God first created us. God made us, He created us in sunshine and brightness. The sunshine of His love, the brightness of His fellowship. He said to people, I love you, and you may be my gardeners, my caretakers of this wonderful world, this good creation that has come out of my hand. Workers for me and workers with me in the unfolding of all the splendid, unlimited possibilities that I have placed in this world. You are to be my executives, and my blessings will be with you. They will surround you. They will uphold you every day. That was, I would like to think of that as the first Earth Day in human history. It says so right there in Genesis 1. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over it, because I have entrusted all things to you. I've given them into your hand. Wow, isn't that a grand thing? Isn't that wonderful? And not only creation had potential, so did men and women. They too had unlimited potential. They could, how shall I put it, invent, create, develop, be playful, live a life that would never be dull or boring, but a life that would be fulfilling. Because that is how God made us, how He made you and me. Because God was with them in the beginning, eternal fellowship. And now all of that is summarized, symbolized, summed up in the image of trees. Real trees, mind you, because the trees of paradise had real roots and limbs and branches and the like. They were the raw material, you might say, the unlimited potential that people could start working with. But those trees were more than that. I want to explain that to you. Those trees were dependent on their creator. Now, that's kind of obvious, isn't it? Trees depend on rain. They depend on good soil. They depend on oxygen, nitrogen, and the like. There are some people here in the nursery business who can explain a lot more to you than I can. If God withholds rain or nourishment, the right weather, trees and flowers and crops and what have you, they wilt, they wither, they die. Anybody can tell you that. Or can they? Start again at the beginning. The danger was that Adam and Eve, that people might start to imagine that with all their wonderful potential, their gifts, that they were the ones to keep things alive. that it was their pruning, their fertilizing, their science, their hard work, their ingenuity, their agricultural skills that would keep trees alive and make them grow. Hope you get what I'm driving at here. That people would begin to fancy themselves little gods, that they would lose sight of the very basic and fundamental distinction between creator and creature. So God, in his great love and care, used those very same trees to keep that distinction literally before people's eyes. Listen, says God, these trees are all mine. This creation is mine, just as you also are to be mine. My servant gardeners in my good creation. And now you may never forget that distinction, that difference between yourself and me, between creator and creature, so that you truly may be happy and fulfilled. Here's a tree, that one right over there, from which you may never eat. Why? Because I said so. It is mine. I am the creator. You are the creature. And if you always remember that, you may walk in my sunshine and enjoy my presence and tend my garden, my good creation. Remembering that will be good. Forgetting that will be evil. No wonder that tree was called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Forgetting that, you will be left on your own. And as a tree without rain and sunshine will surely die, you will die. Forgetting will bring evil days for you and for this world. Remember who you are. Acknowledge and love me. Honor the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and I will grant you the privilege of eating of the tree of life. Eternal life, fellowship, joy in my presence. That's how God made us. That's what he wanted for us. He trusted and loved us and had tasks for us that were as varied and diverse and interesting and challenging as the talents that he gave each one of us. And you find all that expressed in the trees of paradise, as you can be reminded of it just as well when you look at the trees in your own backyard or the trees that line the street that you live on. And I'm going to jump a little bit, quite a bit actually, for the Bible doesn't just tell us where we came from and who we are and what God wanted for us, but it also tells us where we are going and who we shall be. The Bible speaks of a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth. A place where there will be perfect communion again between creator and creature. A place for lions and lambs to frolic together. Rivers, streams, mountains and valleys, flowers, trees, plowshares and pruning hooks. Men and women basking in the sunshine of God's presence, for the Lamb is the light, and there will be no darkness there. His grace and his love will fill the earth. A new community of unparalleled harmony and peace. Light, life, warmth, beauty. Where all the nations, the Bible says, you read that in Revelation 2, where all the nations of the earth will bring their treasures. Science and research, poetic skill and music, gardening and agriculture, and you go on and on and on, of limitless possibilities for work and worship, where work again will be worship. If you thought you were going to sit in a cloud with a harp to all eternity, you got another thing coming. Life again will be worship. Men and women rejoicing before their God. Men and women in whom God himself rejoices. Fellowship, a never-ending, unfolding potential. All things coming into their own again. Never a day of boredom. And again in this new paradise, in this fulfilled kingdom of God, we find, you guessed it, trees. We read, "He showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb, flowing through the midst of the streets of this new Jerusalem. And on either side of the river were the trees of life, with 12 kinds of fruit yielding fruit every month. And the leaves of those trees were for the healing of the nations." 12 kinds of fruit, enough for every tribe of the new Israel of God, for all its people. And again, also note the same kind of symbolism. These trees also receive their life, their sustenance from God, depending on Him. They are nourished, they are watered by Him, by a stream that flows from the throne of God. Here also, all that lives depends on the Creator. Eternal life, close fellowship expressed by those trees, comes from the throne of God. But did you notice also that you no longer find a tree of the knowledge of good and evil? I can tell you why that is. Because in those days, says the Lord, I will put my law into their minds and write it upon their hearts, and I will be their God and they will be my people. And they will no longer have to say, each one to their neighbor, "Know the Lord," for they shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest. So now, having said all that, we come to the crucial problem, the main question. You have heard how God made people, and you've heard what our final destination is. But how on earth can you and I arrive safely from Genesis to Revelation, as it were? How do we get from here to there? It's all very fine and very moving, and it's all very, shall I call it romanticized almost, a little Pollyannish, speaking about peace and love and flowers and sunshine and harmony. Sounds like we're a bunch of hippies this morning. Hello? How do we get from here to there? For you and I know very well that between those gorgeous trees of the first paradise and the sunshine of the coming peaceable kingdom, there lies our world, this world, your and my world, a very real world. A world in which people routinely forget the lesson of the trees, dependence on God. And where people act and think as though they were lords and masters and can do what they want, do as they please, with the world's resources, with other people. A world in which too often people make themselves into little tin gods. And in which people say, "Look, it's my cleverness, it's my money, it's my entrepreneurship, my ingenuity, it's my science, which will rule supreme, and I'm accountable only to me, myself, and possibly my stockholders. It's my trees. And if I want to strip mine the Amazon region, it's up to me. My trees." The Bible calls it foolishness, sin. It calls the independent, autonomous man without God or without His love, a stupid fool, literally. And the trees of the field become cursed, and creation itself, says Romans 8, groans in pain like a woman in childbirth, waiting for deliverance. Thinking to be wise, people became ignorant, self-defeating, embracing darkness rather than light, negativity, death. No wonder people are depressed. Cut off from the tree of life, from their origin and their destiny. No wonder people don't know who they are anymore. No wonder people have their share of guilt, feelings, discomfort, and insecurity. When every day looks like a mountain and every new week like an obstacle course. You need new life. You need new strength. The vision that life means something, has value, direction. How do you get that? How do you get that? The good news of the gospel is that between the trees of paradise and the trees of the New Jerusalem, God planted another tree. The good news is that God made possible what was impossible, that he took dead wood and made it blossom with new life and fruit. You read in 1 Peter, Jesus carried our sins to the tree that we might die to sin and become alive to righteousness. You read in Acts 5, God raised his son Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree, and exalted him as leader and savior to give repentance and forgiveness of sin. Or, I could go on and on, Acts 10, they put Jesus to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him. God gave his son to die on a tree. Have you ever wondered why Jesus died on a cross? More than one reason, but certainly this is one of them. Because a cross is a dead tree. As the New Testament points out over and over again, two pieces of wood that can no longer blossom, that have no life anymore. A cross stands for, it symbolizes being cut off, a symbol of death, a symbol of sin, a symbol of a mourning creation. And that sin and death and being cut off from God, that's what my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, took upon himself for me and for you. And the result? This strangely wonderful tree, the tree of the cross, becomes a source of life. Dead wood blossoms. The cross of Christ yielded forgiveness, healing, peace. And when, I always think this is so wonderful, when Jesus rose, Lord of life, on the third day and walked in the Garden of Arimathea, he was mistaken for a gardener. What a heavenly sense of humor. It was so beautifully expressed in a recent poem in the Banner, I think it was last month's issue, poem written by David Schelhaas called Thinking He Was the Gardener. I want to read it to you. David writes this beautiful poem. Thinking he was the gardener, she didn't recognize him. Eyes blurred with tears, the weight of grief breaking her heart. Now, all these centuries later, we find her misidentification of him as the gardener happily apt, for he is the gardener of our lives and our salvation. Planter, waterer, weeder, feeder, completer. He is the gardener of all green and growing things, of grasses, flowers and trees. The great sequoias, redwoods, cedars, they all bow down to him who bends to tend the almost invisible lettuce seeds planted this morning in my garden. He cares for all creatures, plants, the conies and the feeble folk in houses of stone to protect them, gives water for wild donkeys, delights in the antics of the Leviathan. Before time was, he cast the stars like seeds into the endless furrows of space and still charts their growth over the seasons that linger on for eons. Dear sad Mary, one word, and she knew him. Yet all eternity may not be time enough to comprehend him. Dear people, do you see the wonderful symbolism, the coherence of the Bible? God doing the impossible, the creator of all that exists, coming to the rescue of his creation, transforming, restoring, recalling people, issuing a new call to his creation. And it's nothing complicated. It's very straightforward. Come, follow me. It's three words. Come, follow me. And the cross of Christ becomes not a sign of despair or of giving up or a reason to feel gloomy, but we have a new tree of life, the tree of the Lamb. That means that in him you may begin again a new life, a life without end. You know your destiny. You know what's waiting. You may start in his power through his Holy Spirit now. Now. A life of thankful obedience. And you may know it again. Now, God loves me. And he has a task for me. Now. And he will be there for me when I need wisdom in this still incomplete and often confusing world that longs for redemption. I may celebrate Earth Day, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness. With him all things are possible. Yes, you shall go forth in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you, shouting songs of joy. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Amen and amen.